You're listening to Out of Bounds with Dota. Lose your eye.
Hey, it's back-to-back weeks on Out of Bounds. This is our new commitment in the new year to you, the listener. I'm kidding. We just didn't have anything better going on the last 2 weekends.
Holiday season's over, man.
Holiday season's over. Hey,
we are back.
If you are a regular listener, thank you for coming back. Do us a favor and give us a rating and a review on all your podcast apps and tell your friends about us. We'd appreciate that very much. If you're a new listener, I think you're going to like what you're hearing. We've got a great show here. We got a guest in studio. I always get excited about bringing guests.
Big stuff happening here tonight.
Big stuff.
Big legend here. big legend.
Big legend in Macomb County, that's for sure. Mark is back off of injured reserve.
I'm back. My back's feeling better.
Okay.
I couldn't breathe, man. I couldn't move.
Wow. It's
taking my breath away.
You shouldn't have
lay down.
You must have took off your Christmas lights finally.
Couldn't sit up. Yeah, it was that tree. It was that damn tree.
That one tree that you put the light on.
That one tree took my back away.
And my breath. Took your back away? What'd it take it, Mike?
Guys, we talked last week about New Year's resolutions and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, I'm still working on that.
2019, I think I have a new pet peeve.
What's that?
Stupid people. I know we're annoyed with them year-round. Every year I've got a pet peeve, right?
I'm just going to go. Sorry.
Every year
we're
I've
not best friends anymore.
Last year was people who add S to words or companies that don't have it or take it away, the ones that do have it. This year it's stupid people. Listen, and it's not just stupid people who do dumb shit for themselves. It's people who are getting in the way of other people's lives. Like, hey,
like traffic.
If you want to have a bowl of Tide Pods or soak your tampon in vodka, knock yourself out. But if
what are you watching, man?
If you're gonna do,
what are you serving? You in that dark hole when I say that Mark's in when he starts sending videos?
You know
like
the shit he sees
at 10 o'clock at night. Starts sending videos.
Listen, that's okay. You want to do all that
stuff? Like, well, be careful because you can be in the dark hole, dude, real quick.
You want to be bad to yourself, knock yourself out. But you're gonna do the Bird Box challenge on the road. Did you see this?
A teenager in Utah
got to an accident because he did the Bird Box challenge, put a blindfold on, and was driving, got to an accident.
Shocking!
I've ever heard of my life.
It's incredible.
How did it happen?
It's incredible. That whole thing is happening now, right? Since the show on Netflix,
yeah,
which is a great story, by the way, written by a local author. I love that guy out of Ferndale. It's become a huge hit on Netflix. Everybody's talking about it. All the memes that you've seen,
yeah.
Sandra Bullock.
Yeah,
but I mean,
that's
come
just
on,
retarded.
Man.
I'm sorry.
It's bad.
Dumb. First time I'm hearing about it. That's dumb.
Well, I'm afraid it's not going to be the last.
I don't think I'm that dumb. I'm not the smartest guy in the world.
Let me put it this way.
I'm not that dumb.
If you're on the road and you see somebody with a blindfold on while they're driving, hit the gas.
I'm still on the vodka soaked tampon. What was that about?
I think it's a perfect time to introduce our guest.
I know.
Macomb County Judge.
Dodo was in a dark hole for a minute.
Sorry. I'm back. Let's introduce our guest, Macomb County Judge Mark Switalski. I don't think I need to give anybody any more information about you to give you credibility other than you're a Michigan alum.
That's 1973.
Wow.
University of Michigan.
Big time right there.
Yeah. Well, we thank you for joining us. Is there anything else you want to tell us about yourself before we start grilling you on our sports topics?
I do have my New Year's thing I want to talk about.
Oh, let's talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
Replay. I hate replay.
Replay.
Replay to help the referees and the umpires.
What, in every sport?
Every sport.
Everything.
Really?
I want to kill it.
Really?
Get rid of it.
So you don't care about the because I'm like 50-50 tied on that. When we mentioned that earlier, I'm like, they're getting it right a lot of times. But
who cares? It's boring.
Which sport bothers you the most?
Well, that's a tough call, Mark.
I mean, baseball, though,
I think it would be between football and baseball.
I would think baseball because it can make that first base coach or the first base ump or the second base ump look really bad.
So,
you know,
who cares about that?
But they're like, I mean,
you're right. It does make
it makes them look worse. It makes them look worse.
There's like two close calls a game. Otherwise, they could have the ball girl down there make the calls.
Right.
The two close calls, they got to go to TV. How about when he goes home? And how was your job, honey? Well, I had two calls, you know, two close ones. They overturn the calls.
Can I ask you something?
Nice job.
Yeah. Let me ask you something, Judge.
What are they paying you for?
Let me ask you something, though. Wouldn't the replay help out Galarraga's perfect game?
Good one.
That's a good question.
So
but
you would want that replay that time.
How many perfect games have there been, Mark?
Not many. So and it took it away from him.
So name some of the guys that threw them.
Oh, man.
Exactly.
Because everybody knows Galarraga.
Everybody but still, knows that's a big deal.
I think
deal.
It kind of did him a favor.
No, that's a big deal. It ruined his whole career. After that, it was over. It was
no,
done.
It didn't ruin his career.
Yeah, he was done. He fucking went downhill after that.
No, he wasn't that good to begin with.
He was pretty good.
Okay.
But
he's not the first guy anybody thought of like as he's pitching. Like,
that's
guy
heartbreaking,
might throw
man.
A perfect game sometimes.
That's heartbreaking.
That's heartbreaking.
I have to laugh sometimes, though. You're watching a good game. You're watching a good game, and they stop the action.
No, it is.
I'm with you on that.
The umpires leave the field just to let you know that nothing's happening.
Well, happened. It happened today.
And you watch the umpires watch the replay. What could be more boring?
It happened today in the Duke Florida State game.
It's terrible.
Did you watch the Duke Florida State game?
No.
Well, they got it right, so it helped Duke. But they took forever.
But there's who cares?
They took forever on the last second to see who to go off of out of bounds.
Baseball attendance is down 6 of the last 7 years, and football attendance, NFL, is down the last 2 years. I think it's because of replay boring people to death.
You know, I think you might be onto something. That when they started improving replay and the way they started looking at it, I thought, hey, I think they're starting to improve the game a little bit. But then it's like they went overboard. It's too many bells and whistles. Too many plays are reviewable. I would much rather they spend the money and time on training these referees to make better calls in those moments.
Double their pay,
put them through more training, give them a year-round job. I think that would make the sport that much better.
Exactly.
They make the bang-bang plays. They
football,
make those calls much better.
In baseball, I don't know so much. I haven't been following it a lot. But in football, I think the referees are old. They're too old to catch this action. The action is so much faster. It's bang bang plays, man. It's line. You can call a penalty on every play. So they're trying to figure out what to call, where's it gonna go, what's that about. These athletes are so fast, and you got a 65-70-year-old guy, out of shape guy, sitting in the middle of the field who can't really make a decision. So it's too quick. The game's too quick.
But how many times are you watching the game from home and you can call the penalty yourself.
This is why I'm 50-50 on it. There used to be so – I agree with you that the way the play stopped, the action stops. But there's – can you take yourself back before it, maybe 10 years ago, 15? There was so many missed calls that games were caused.
But it's the human element.
Everybody lived with it.
It's the human element. Because you had to live with it.
But are we talking about entertainment or a science experiment?
Yes.
Nobody goes to the lab to watch the scientists.
Well, if you go to a Lions game, it's more than entertainment. These people are buying in. If Stevie was here, a slappy. This guy's dying. He can't sleep at night because of those
things. And I love the Lion fans, but the Lion games, come on. You go to it's 3rd and 2. Stafford. In the huddle. There goes 15 seconds of standing around. Come up to the line, audible, another 10-15 seconds.
Yeah.
Drops back for 2 seconds before he dumps it off to somebody short of the first down. And now you can't tell whether he got over the line or not. So we got to stop the game.
Listen,
we've had 3 seconds of action, and now we watch the guys doing the game can't agree whether he's over the line or not.
Right. Yeah.
The guy in New York's got to come in. You watch it from 10 different ways. They didn't make it. They punt, timeout, commercial.
So
you've had like 5 seconds of action in 5 minutes.
So right. So I went.
And you're supposed to hang in there. You have to either drink.
Yeah.
Or if you're home, do the laundry or do the dishes or just use your time while this is going on.
Honestly, that's a great point because I was at the Minnesota game a few weeks ago, and we were sitting there, and I'll overanalyze everything, right? So I'm watching the game, and I'm like between certain plays at certain times of the game, there's so much stoppage time. And at home, you don't realize it as much. You hate the commercials, but they're just – it's better than being at a game. They're like – all the players are just standing in the middle of the field on a second down and eight or third down, and because the refs are talking, they just go to commercial. It's all commercial-based.
No, this is like
– but it's just – I'm not even talking about replay. I'm talking the games could be so much faster without replay.
Well, that's true.
And it's just – I'm looking at all this dead time, and I'm looking at my son, and I'm just like, wow, why are they taking so long? I'm like, it's got to be commercial break.
But this replay thing is like the road to hell is paved with good intentions, right? We're going to get this right. And you have the competition committee and everybody, Jim Leland, great baseball guys, and they come up with this. And at the same time, we got to find a way to slow this shit down for the young people. The game is going way too fast. They can't keep up with a baseball game. We need a break in all this action.
Baseball's bad. It's tough.
It's tough because you don't want to miss calls. You want to try to get every call right. And then, but it takes away from the time of the game.
It's too long.
Baseball's already long.
You know what, though?
Baseball's already long, and then you go to
sports.
But the franchises before replay are already worth $1 billion.
Yeah.
Right.
The players are making millions of dollars.
Well,
it's all
that's
a success.
Part of the problem. That's a problem.
Why are we I don't think this in. It's already working.
I really don't think the missed calls, I don't think the opportunities or what's being taken away in those missed calls outweighs what the final outcome is. Like, I don't think there's an outstanding number of calls that could have gone the other way that cost, you know, or completely changed the outcome of the game. It happens probably a fraction of the time, and we're spending all this time.
But if you're the other guy
that.
Who argues the other side, you could say if you combine those plays and that run could have scored from second. And you could argue it the other way and be like, combined call, if you would have got it right.
Sports is perfectly imperfect.
Right.
And I love that about
and
it.
And it's like, entertaining. It's better that way.
They're taking a human element out of the game. They are.
Here's a conversation you never have. You know, Johnny, did you go to the Piston game last night? Oh, yeah, it was great. I mean, it might have cost me $500 to take my kids. And, yeah, they missed, you know, they were cranky in the morning because of school and everything, but it was fantastic. They got every call right. I can't wait to go again. They got them all right.
No, I know. SRE play is always going to – I think that's always
– But you guys had the experience when you guys went to Cleveland and talked to some of the refs, big-name NBA
Maurer.
Refs.
Was his first name Joey? Not Joe Maurer.
Joe Maurer?
No, that's a baseball player.
Maurer is a big-time ref.
Slick, you know the ref, the older guy with the
slick back hair.
We went to the finals. Sherman Williams took us out. Shout out to Sherman Williams. They took us a couple years ago to Cleveland to watch the finals where Durant hits that three-pointer in LeBron's face. Right?
The first one on his face.
I think it was game three.
First time.
So we went at the hotel we were staying at. The refs were staying at. Kenny Maurer.
So
Kenny Maurer's at the bar and right next to us. So, you know, just talking to him and the first question I asked him was how was it officiating Shaq?
Yeah. Great question.
He said, you know, it was harder when he was older. He said because he was more aggressive when he was older to ref and we asked him a bunch of questions.
He's also fatter.
We sat with some of the
owners of
Golden State Warriors. I guess there's like eight, you know, small, you know, owners, minority owners and stuff like that. It was just a great experience.
The referees, just like that.
The reason you bring that up is also because wasn't a play in a corner where LeBron or somebody thought he got fouled in the corner on the shot?
And you said he was talking about more times than not, he would rather not make the call than make the call.
Right. He's like, I'd rather not. He goes, there was no foul there. You know, someone pulled up after Durant hit that. It was a shot in the corner, and I think it was LeBron or somebody.
J.R. Smith pulled.
Anyways, they pulled up, and it looked like someone fouled from our side. We were behind it. And I said, what happened on that play? And he's like, there was no foul, you know? And then he said he ended up going into, like, you know, so I'd rather not make a call than make a bad call.
But it's
that's
more,
what we're trying to lead to. I kind of lost track of what we're going.
And it's far more art than science, right?
Yeah. He's like,
for sure. Yeah.
Let him play. In basketball, you let him play because it's such a bang, bang.
I'll tell you one thing they don't do. There's a bang, bang play at first base, and everybody looks at the umpire. He doesn't say, let me think about it for a while.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
The entertainment is boom.
Yeah.
Boom.
Make the call. On the spot.
Yeah.
Especially basketball. You just keep going and keep going. How many calls are there in a basketball game?
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Depends who's reffing. You got Zach Zarba reffing?
And then if you count all the calls they don't make, right? Yeah. There's decision
but
every
No, but
every
the
couple
referees
seconds.
Can dictate the game play, the flow. The referees in basketball at least can dictate the way the game is
for
played.
For sure,
definitely.
Right?
Well, you know,
are we
going to
let these guys play? I mean, how many times in last year, this year that just passed, we were like, this is how basketball and playoffs come, right? They let you play. They're banging. They're hitting. They're not calling anything. They're letting the guys play basketball.
They're killing each
other. And during the season, you're getting these little tic-tac, nicky-nack fouls, and ones. A guy just, like, grazed them. You get an and one.
What the?
In the NBA, I think that now the refs are letting them play. I feel like they get at a discussion, and they're just like, we're gonna raise the scoring up. We're just gonna not call foul, you know, or call ticket to get scoring up. Because it's entertainment. I tell these guys on our thread, I said, basketball, you know, I love scoring. I was a scorer. We talked about that. I love scoring. But, man, I'm a two-way player. I always play hard on defense. It's out of control what's happening in NBA with scoring. 155 to 145. Guys are – every night you got guys going for 40.
They can shoot now, though.
Not just that, but it's
they can all shoot.
It doesn't mean their percentages are up.
Right about that.
It's ridiculous.
Their percentages are not much record high than anything else.
Well, they're just letting them shoot
from
the parking lot.
They're not stopping the game. They're letting these guys just gun it and shoot it. No, they are shooting more, but their percentages aren't going up. I'm talking random guys. We're not talking about the all-stars.
Right.
The all-stars are going to score. getting a random guy coming in and going for 42 and 18.
Great for fantasy, though.
There it is. Mark,
how long did that take? 10 minutes?
5 minutes into the show.
14
Great
minutes.
For fantasy.
But the
Get
rest...
that guy off the wire. You don't know, man. He go for 45.
God. Mark won't stop now, guys. He just killed it. Oh, my God.
Put
the fire out.
I think what bothers me more, especially in NBA, is the flagrant. Like, I think that's just like ticky-tack. Flagrant one, you're flagrant two.
Well, they use instant replay to
You watched
that
the game
too.
Way before I started watching the game. Not saying that not way before.
They were taken out of the peach basket when I started.
No disrespect. But, you seen how it was back in the day where they were just rough and tough, and you couldn't make a flagrant foul back then there.
But
I think that's what bothers me more now.
The game was all compressed in the lane.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, now it's all spread all over the floor, right?
It's faster. Right. You know, the guys are more athletic. They're jumping higher. Like,
I
they're
love
doing
that,
things.
I
no,
love
and,
that, that.
And that's great. But to your point about the scoring, think about it. These guys are jacking up shots from deeper. They're jacking up more shots, which leads to more scoring opportunities. And that's why those guys.
Listen to me. It's not the threes. The threes is a little bit, but they're getting to the lane easier.
Well, I know you're talking about the defense.
You just said it was compressed. There's nobody in the lane. If they drive, Harden drives. Look at LeBron.
That's the Jordan.
That's
effect.
Another topic. He just watched that one game against Houston where Harden just goes in for a tomahawk dunk. LeBron just watching him.
There is no defense.
Like, nobody goes up. Just that one guy from Brooklyn. That dude is just trying to block everybody. But
Coffee Black,
nobody wants to play D or attempt to take
people out.
It's not
sexy.
Like, you can't let people go for 42 on
defense
you.
Defense isn't sexy,
you,
John.
I know, but the team can't let somebody go off on you. That's just like, I look at the players, and it's a whole different age. That's why these coaches are all getting fired. And it's happening in the NFL this year. You see what's going on. They're hiring all these college guys who are not qualified to coach in NFL because of a fast-paced offense. And they're bringing in what's his name from Minnesota? He's 32 years old.
Oh yeah.
Well, go on a losing streak. Let's see if these guys are going to respect you. 32-year-old, one win victory guy, Minnesota. What's his name? Son.
Saunders.
Pistons.
Saunders.
Flip Saunders' son.
Yeah.
Is the head coach now in Minnesota.
Oh, you're still talking basketball.
I know. I thought you went.
You got to stay with me here. We're going back and forth.
You're
right?
Bouncing off these walls over here, bro.
Talking about coaches.
I got you. I found
you.
Did the Vikings fire their coach?
That's what I was thinking, too.
Thank you, Judge.
Minnesota Timberwolves.
I rest my case.
Flip Saunders' son.
I'm talking about like
Saunders Jr.
Yeah, Saunders Jr. He gets one win, they flip out, right? Let's just see how that's going to last. Anyways, going back. I'm bringing it back now.
It was because of the play he called.
You get into the lane and you're getting layups. You're getting alley-oop dunks. You're getting all these. Tits McGee from the Lakers. We call him Tits McGee. Okay.
JaVale McGee
from the Lakers. Is looking like an all-star at times this year because nobody's even at the rim.
Right.
Right? I mean, come on, man.
Listen.
Take somebody out. You know, now we're going to review, like you said, the instant replay. I'm glad you brought that up. Now we're going to review the foul. Was it a flagrant? That's the dumbest thing I ever heard. Now
that's,
I'm against the instant replay on
that's
that.
That's what I said.
That you got to call that. It either is or it isn't.
Right.
Like, you know, we got to see if he kind of leans.
It'll
in.
Look worse on the replay. Human
I just
element.
Think the replay is adding nothing.
Yeah.
Except boredom.
Yeah.
Slows everything down.
I think you got a great case there.
Plus, the other thing that I miss in baseball, now that they have replay, there's no arguments.
I love this guy. He's,
Bringing
baseball back.
Where's Billy Martin arguing? Where's Earl Weaver? Where's Lucas Nola throwing the base out into the outfield?
Because
where's all
you
that stuff?
You can't argue with the guy in New York who's making the call from a.
Now when they do argue, it's
building.
like it's all sketched out. Like it's all like acting.
There's no passion.
There's acting.
No, there's no
like, oh, I have to do this
atrocious.
Now.
When you're at a baseball game and they had the umpire or the manager came out and went crazy, the crowd loved it.
Yeah.
It was entertaining.
Yeah, passion.
Yeah.
Passion.
It was actually
fun. You need to bring Ozzie Guillen back in the league.
White
Sox,
Ozzie
Guillen.
Yeah. He's fiery.
Huh?
You know what, though?
In two languages.
Yeah. Those umpires couldn't understand what the hell he was saying, but it was entertaining to see.
You know what? Today they would replay that and have a translator there to decide if they're gonna kick him out
he
of the
said,
game.
Fuck you. He said,
it's all subjective. And in baseball, they all rotate for a game series. Like second guy, base guy is gonna do the plate, and then they go to third. I mean, you know,
they're taking
specialize in being an ump behind a plate.
If they start doing balls and strikes by a machine, I'm stuck.
Yeah,
I'm done then.
Oh,
how do you
man.
Feel about where baseball is going? Let's talk baseball a little bit. How do you feel about baseball? Where's it going? I say it's going
it's
to
still
the shitter.
Best. It's to me.
Oh, judge my man over here.
It's the best. Are you kidding?
I'm second guessing this guest.
Okay.
I'm the baseball guy
the
more
Red
than
Sox
these guys.
Last year were fantastic. Are you kidding me?
They were fun.
They were
fun to watch. But let me ask you this about baseball because there are a lot of criticisms. I mean, you're talking about the game and how they're slowing it down. Why do managers still wear the uniforms?
I think that's cool.
What do you want, Dota? You want to wear suits?
No, I don't want to wear a suit.
T-shirt and jeans?
Skinny
jeans?
I get back in 1874 when baseball.
You imagine Popovich in a Spurs jersey?
Connie Mack with the
you imagine Popovich in a Spurs jersey?
It's tradition of baseball,
man. I love that. This guy hates.
This guy. What are you doing?
Tradition.
Millennial over here, born in 86.
Zillennial. Zillennial. 85.
This guy, you know, he wants to kill baseball.
Man, of all things, Dota.
To answer your question, because Tommy Lasorda looks so good.
Yeah.
That's great. Almost as good as Roberto Colon.
Oh boy. You don't have to be an athlete.
Is that his name? Roberto?
I don't think
Bartolo.
It's
Bartolo. Close. Reverse it. It's
400
Roberto
pounds.
Bartolo.
Fantastic. 5'11",
290. 46 years old.
Remember
410
pounds. Remember how Pudge got his nickname? This guy blows him out of the water. What are you talking about?
Then Pudge did steroids and he got ripped and then he was gone.
Pudge was
the best. So did you like baseball obviously before steroid era or after? How do you feel about that?
I always loved baseball. I think
the steroid era was a bad era.
You think it was bad?
I think they did a good job on that.
You think so?
Getting rid of it?
Well, they had to get it. It was for the players' health. They had to get it under control. They worked with the union. They did a good job.
What about?
I think the players would go back to it in a second.
You remember when it was the years before that, before the McGuire and Sosa battle, right?
Right.
Strike year. Yep. Baseball was really in bad shape, man. And this
the
is
strike,
when I was more
the
of a
strike
fan
hurt
back
baseball.
Then. Okay, it was bad. Yeah. No one was going to the
so
game.
So self-inflicted
I mean,
empty
wound. Stadiums.
But do you think MLB probably turned the cheek on that? Maybe looked the other way a little
yes.
bit because of that. So they kind of created this monster.
You know, the Barry Bonds perfect example, right? Barry Bonds pre-steroids is one of the best players of all time, right? He's multiple MVP winner. He's a fantastic athlete.
Yeah.
He's fast. He can
Him
hit
and Bobby Bonilla,
with power.
Pittsburgh.
He can do everything. He's like a Hank Aaron or a Willie Mays type player.
Mm-hmm.
So two guys go off and get all the money, right, with the steroids and everything. So what is he supposed to do?
Yeah.
Do the same thing.
He's a competitor. What's he supposed to do?
No, everybody was doing it, so you want
to
keep
up with the Joneses. And then to make him like a black sheep or something now because he used steroids. Well, somebody owns a stadium in San Francisco built on his back.
Yeah,
exactly.
You're right.
You're absolutely right. And the MLB made a lot of money off of him, too.
They're not giving the fans their money back.
No, not
all
at all.
All those balls in that McCovey Cove made more McCovey Cove more popular than when he was when he played.
Wow, Mark. McCovey Cove reference.
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
Right field there.
I'm guessing God, they weren't good. Discounting the tickets either.
No, they definitely weren't. So you think he belongs in the Hall?
Easy.
Yes.
So you don't think there should be an asterisk next to his name?
No.
I like this.
I'm with that too.
I mean, everybody's still doing it.
But if there is, then let's file a class action and get our money back.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Right? So if we were watching,
the judge brought it out. The lawyer in him.
If we were watching a fake show, let's get our money back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. They were cutting away from movies and shows on ESPN and games.
My God.
And be like, oh, Barry Bonds is up.
It was incredible.
I mean, the viewership.
John, you mentioned this before to me. Anytime they cut back.
Hit a home run.
To Barry Bonds. 9 out of 10 times he hit the home run.
Pretty much. Pretty close to that. At least 70%
of the
time.
That's like incredible. I mean, come on. You cut wherever you're whatever is playing on the TV.
That's
you
my
cut
point.
To
that's
him,
what I was trying to get
and
to.
Bam.
About the steroid era.
No,
did you think
it's
the
like,
steroid era?
I don't think it was a good style of baseball. It was a terrible style of baseball. It was come on. It was like a backyard wiffle ball game. He's gonna hit it out.
Yeah, but you still gotta make contact.
It made the home run.
You got a round bat with a round ball. You still got to make good contact.
But it's going like 100 feet further.
Right. Yeah. It's the difference between
the
pop-ups or home runs.
Yeah. Doubles turned into home runs.
My point about the steroid era, do you think that – I think personally that era, the Barry Bonds and McGuire, the Sosa era, brought baseball back. And due to steroids, brought it back.
Yeah, they definitely some life did. Into it, for sure.
So you kind of like, what do you think about that era? I mean, it sucked that you know now in hindsight, but really think about it. Remember how bad it was before.
Yeah, it was great for the owners.
It was great for the owners, great for the fans, too, because people were coming in. I mean, how about just a casual baseball guy who didn't know at the time comes in to baseball and is like, can't wait to see these guys. I'm not saying it was okay. I'm just saying, did it help boost
Barry
baseball
Bonds that
back?
Year?
Did it help baseball come back?
It helped them recover from the strike. Yes.
Barry Bonds that year, it was almost like every other game, right?
Dude,
he was hitting a home
crazy.
Run.
That was crazy.
It's pretty incredible. Yeah. Well, since we're talking baseball, let's talk about the other cloud hanging over the sport.
The Tigers?
The Tigers are hanging over the sport.
Oh, man. No, that was crazy. Are you all right, though?
I'm good. Oh, okay, that, right. It was all funny. Right. Lost my train of thought.
We're waiting for the cloud.
Yeah.
What is the cloud?
Cloud passed. The sun's out now. Let's go. Let's move on.
It's a cloud in my brain.
Partly cloudy now.
I'm staring at this guy. I don't know.
I lost my train of thought. I wanted to talk about, what's his nuts, not being banned from baseball and not being in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, Pete Rose.
Pete Rose. Yeah. Oh.
I was about to drop Pete Rose, and then you threw Tigers at me, and I just completely lost
Pete
it.
Pete Rose, that's a good question for the judge. Now you have Barry Bonds in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, that mean?
Automatic. Pete Rose. Would you put him in there?
That's a tough call. And there's
4,000 hits.
Yeah, as a player, easy. He's in easy. Yeah. The gambling thing on the games is not good. And I haven't – there's been some pretty detailed reports on it, and I'm not conversant, like, all the way on those. So I'm hesitating. But he was, it's pretty clear, betting on the games that he was managing.
Yeah.
So whether he's betting for his team or against his team, he's helping the gamblers, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's providing information to the gamblers.
Yeah.
So that's a tough one.
Is that worse than steroids? I mean,
well, it's an ethics thing,
right?
It's an ethics thing.
I mean,
like,
God, I don't know.
I'm an effort guy, so I can't. I'm not convinced that a guy who's playing the game, all time hits leader, who's managing, I'm not convinced that a guy like that, if he's betting on the game, that he's betting against his team. Like, I don't know, like. Can you go into the archives and talk about the times when...
Okay, but how about 3 nights a week he's betting on his team and 4 nights he's not betting?
Yeah.
Well, that's information, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So absolutely. It's intel, for sure.
And they have the guys come at spring training and tell everybody that's off limits. You can't do that, right?
But should he get in on his
playing ability?
On
the other hand, they're
going to
bet. Now they're getting a piece of the action, right?
Yeah, they're trying to get it to everybody.
What do they want? An integrity fee, I think, is what they call it.
NBA is the first on board, I believe, and I think it's going to spread to all sports. They have to.
I thought
when you go to a soccer game in London, you can bet on the game at the game.
That's incredible.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, they're all betting all the time. Doesn't seem to bother them.
There's just a stigma here in this country about gambling, and there's no doubt about it. Some people have a problem. They need help, and they don't get it, and they put themselves in really terrible situations.
We've also had point shaving in college basketball.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We had a couple huge scandals. Yeah. And we had the World Series of 1919.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're always going to have these people who are out for their own best interest over everybody else's, whether it's making money or, you know, finding a way, you know, guys getting money to play for certain teams in college, whatever it's going to be. You've always got these guys. One rotten apple out there, but you know, I don't think that the gambling part of it in today's sports world. I think they have to put it in every sport. They have to. They're so far behind on this, and the NBA, they're getting a lot of props. They've figured it out. They've got games down to 2 hours, two and a half. Even replay that we're talking about is not slowing the game down that much. The NBA's got it right, man. You want to take your family downtown for a ball game at the Pistons? You're going to pay a boatload of money to sit in nosebleeds because they haven't figured out the pricing there. But
it's
holy shit, you can get in and out in 2.5 hours.
That,
you guys gone to a Piston game?
Yeah.
I haven't gone this year because it's ridiculous.
I take my son. We go not all the time, but we try to go as much as we can.
What do you think of the arena?
I like the intimacy of it, but, I mean, I don't know. I'm like 50-50 on it. It's kind of steep a little bit if you go to
John, take a stand on this show, man. We got a judge on the show.
Well,
you're 50-50 on
Johnny,
everything.
I think the hard
that's
part.
That's all lawyers are. They're trying to just disguise the
opinion. No, but I think the hard part, it looks like a real good arena. There's nobody in it.
Those are the corporate seats, Judge.
Yeah,
I mean, you know,
they've priced everybody out of it.
Kind of where you sit. Kind of where you sit all the time.
It's about, at best, it's about half full.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. It is. They're not doing a good job. They're overpriced. The secondary market is taking over. I mean, to go to sit. Okay, so I go. I try to sit as close as I can. I'm a basketball player. You know that. So I like to hear the action. It's more about that. So, but you can't get a seat against Milwaukee. Not Milwaukee. That's a bad example. But Charlotte.
I went to Milwaukee.
Charlotte. I don't know. Someone that's bad, right? You're still going to cost
Cleveland.
you and your son or whoever, your daughter or your wife, whatever. It's going to cost you $200 to sit 25 rows up in the corner. Like, okay. You can. But they're trying to sell you on $30 seats and $20 seats upper deck.
Right.
Well, I might as well stay home.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go
yeah.
upper deck. I might as well stay home. I'm looking down on you over there. I mean, what's the point? But It's just very, the secondary market is taking over, and those middle seats that, that are on TV, that now they put the black, the black covers.
Yeah, they're trying to
red. It's so obvious, right?
Yeah.
So that helped, but they're still empty. The corporate people aren't going. They're buying 10 seats, 5 seats. All the corporate seats are taken, and they haven't figured out a system, which I don't see how they can't figure out a system. Like, if you're not using your corporate seats, they're going to go to the market. Okay, for half the price.
Well, here's the issue.
If you're not coming to the game, there should be some kind of system that says no one's coming.
Wow.
Sell them off to, like, they got a game time app that you can get out. I tried using it. And it saves you a couple bucks. It still ends up being near what everybody else, StubHub and SeatGeek and all these guys.
Because of the fees.
How much did you pay to park?
$30.
Yeah.
I got them good, though, in the last one. I went to the Minnesota game at 1 at the Lions. I parked in between, and then I went to the Piston game, so they only got me one time.
Okay.
But it was $40, so I got paid an extra 10 instead of 80. Got you. I feel good. Yeah.
Well, those guys in the
corporate
seats. I
feel good. I spent $450 that day.
Those guys,
I saw a sign, $45. I had an apartment for $45 a month once.
It's
hard for me to adjust.
Man, the biggest money makers are those empty lots behind Fox Theater.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Cash money.
And you know who owns those lots?
Cash money, dirt lots, $20, $30, $40. Yeah. Every game, every sporting event, every concert, everything. That means every weekend throughout the year, they're cranking thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars parking in there.
Yeah.
You think it's a good move to go downtown?
Well, I don't like it because I was driving 15 minutes to get to the game from my house in Rochester.
True.
But it does make our downtown feel, and that's another topic.
What are they doing with the Palace? They're still advertising the
Pistons.
They're
going to repurpose it.
They're doing all kinds of stuff still, like the Pistons still play there.
That's a great building, man.
I know.
It's 20
it
years
is
old.
A great building. Are they going to knock it down? Or are they going to?
No, the Palace is 30 years
old.
Like,
what are they going to do with it? Are they going to still have concerts there or not? Or no?
Well, let me think. He paid $350 million for the team. It's worth over $1 billion.
All right.
Plus, he has the land out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's sitting on it. They're going to repurpose that, I'm sure.
I don't care how much he's paying Drummond. He's okay.
Oh, my God.
Not Drummond. Blake.
Yeah. It's Reggie. Blake and Reggie, he's paying too much. Drummond's
let's talk about the
Pistons. Let's go into the Pistons.
Because if you want fans at the arena, you got to put a good product out there. And they're not a good product right now.
Mm-mm.
They're struggling bad.
I had them going. I had them getting into the playoffs like a 6-7 seed.
I will say,
I don't know what's going on.
Blake Griffin is playing hard.
He is.
I'll give him credit.
He had 40-some today.
He's playing hard.
It's his old team.
Do you think that the way he's playing, not the effort he's given, but the way that it's like a point guard, but not a playmaking point guard?
He's doing everything.
He's basically posting up from the top of the key with his back to the basket, trying to decide on how can I score first. That's what it looks like. Right. Let's just call it what it is.
He plays
so damn hard that it kind of disguises the fact that the system is not right.
Well, it would work if they had some shooters.
Right.
Right. That's what Casey wanted.
We got Bruce Brown.
On.
What are you guys talking about?
He can't kick it out to anybody.
We got Bruce Brown. He killed it today.
We got no front court.
Bullock is the only guy who can shoot.
And
a three.
I like Bullock.
No, he's good. He's up over 40% shooting from 3-point range. He's not the answer.
You got to go get somebody
else, but
you can't because of the contract and Reggie's contract.
So I got a question for you. Of the 10 worst contracts in the NBA, how many do the Pistons have?
They got two. At least two, right? Drummond's not a bad contract, but
maybe the five worst.
They
have two terrible contracts.
They have two. Reggie's contract's bad, and Blake's contract's gonna be killer next year, right?
I don't think his is as bad as Drummond's.
Well, you're right. Reggie is at a discount. Stan locked him up before the market shot way up.
What you're getting for that, though?
Well, you're not getting a lot, but everybody cried about that deal when they gave him that deal, and that turned out to be quite a discount compared to what the other guy, what they were going to have to pay him if they kept him. He's not playing the same since his injury.
The problem with
he's disinterested.
Totally.
Now that everything's running, like Casey
doesn't get the ball.
No, he's not running the show.
That's what I'm trying to get to.
He can't play without
The way that Blake is playing, we've never seen Blake Griffin play like this, even though he's playing as his numbers are career best.
Right.
It's at a different way. Like, it's not a free-flowing like what the NBA is going to. We talked about earlier in the show that it's going to a free three-point shooting free. When Blake gets the ball, it's a post-up at the three.
Yeah.
You can't post up at the three. You're back to the basket every single possession. They're doing it every
single He's our best playmaker.
I know.
And that's what Casey did.
He can actually pass. Yeah. Reggie Jackson can't pass.
I don't know what happened.
Reggie Jackson should not be in the starting lineup.
Okay. Who do you want to put in center?
And James Brown should not be in the starting lineup.
Who do you want to put up in center?
Okay.
Bruce Brown should not be in the G League.
Listen, Okay, G League, out the league, like you said.
Out the league?
Yes.
In the G League, out the league.
Listen, I'm going to go to what Dota said a long time ago.
Long time.
I would make it happen.
Long time.
I would make it happen. And it's making more sense every time I watch them. Luke Kennard.
Oh, come on, dude.
No, listen.
Answer, bro.
Luke Kennard should start at point guard.
He's not a playmaker, man.
He can be. You got to give him. He doesn't play.
He's
John.
Very tentative.
He's not playing.
He's a guy who's a.
Did you see his fire on the bench? You see his fire on the bench yelling at the assistant coaches?
You know who
you see that fire?
We don't have that.
You
guy.
See that fire?
I don't care about
you
that
didn't
player.
Notice.
I don't care.
That's fire. You got to play the guy. Give him a chance, man.
We have given him chances. He's not.
No, you haven't.
We don't have a player.
No, you have not.
We don't have a player on our team. That
we
can put in.
How do you know?
We don't.
Of our options that we have right now. What do you want? James Brown?
No, I don't want to know.
The point?
Did you hear what I just said, or are you just thinking about
Who?
Your thoughts?
Who?
Listen to what I just said. We don't have a player on our bench that could step up to what you're saying.
You
got to
try different things.
You're trying to like make.
With what you have, you got
to
try different things,
with
John.
With the ingredients you have, they don't work.
They got Ish Smith. He's actually a point guard.
That's
you know
actually
what?
Hurt
you know, I think people underestimated how much he affected,
they're
affected
dead.
This
they're
team.
Dead without him.
He has.
What's the record
sad to say, right?
The offense has completely been off
the rails.
They're
like 4-17 without him.
Will he get back in the damn game? All this damn, the doctors. I mean, he's been gone for a month, for God's sakes. Get your ass back
he's
in the
game,
He's not
the game changer guy, man.
No, but he
talking about Ish Smith here.
No, listen. There's a difference because Ish Smith is a better point guard.
His name is Ish.
He didn't even start when he played. Reggie was still in there.
He was a change of pace guy, but he was still a better point guard. The offense ran way better with him than it did with Reggie.
Listen,
Reggie is not a good point guard.
Listen,
he is not a playmaker.
Why is he in the starting lineup is what I'm asking.
Because they're paying him $80 million.
I don't give a shit. We want to win ball games.
Hey, Ish Smith is better-ish than Reggie.
He doesn't even start when he's healthy, John.
He's better-ish, Mark.
I'm not a
like he penetrates and kicks
listen,
it ish.
But listen, well, I'm not even talking about Ish Smith. With what we have right now, why not try something new? Why when Reggie's not working out?
Try
when,
the play
when,
that doesn't
when,
work.
When
it
James
might work.
Slash Bruce Brown, James Brown, whatever you want to call him, is not working out. Obviously,
I don't know. What
okay,
that is, dude.
Why can't you try finally Kennard?
Well,
try
listen,
it.
Here's the thing: the plan
KC,
was
try it.
The plan
Change
was
something up.
In summer league. The plan was to get Kennard to play a lot of point guard. He got injured. He didn't get that.
He's
experiment.
Not injured anymore.
So now it's trial by fire. And I don't think coming off the bench, his minutes are so inconsistent.
No, man.
He doesn't have
flow in the game.
He doesn't have the consistency that he needs or the confidence
he
to do
potential,
it.
He has potential, man. I'm not saying he's going to be an all-star.
All I'm saying is
he's got some potential, man.
We have nobody.
He does.
Is my point.
I said this long ago.
We don't have anybody, but we got to try somebody.
No,
new. We are horrible. We're not. I said this.
Who did we take ahead of the kid from Utah?
Oh,
Luke Kennard.
Luke Kennard.
Luke Kennard. Oh,
Mitchell.
Over Donovan
what can you
Mitchell.
Do? I wasn't even paying attention to Donovan Mitchell in college. He was at Louisville. I mean, the guy just.
But as a scout, though, like as a scout,
he
like,
wasn't.
What,
he wasn't big.
Are you wearing really dark sunglasses when Mitchell's playing in front of you?
Well, look, 12,
like seriously,
12
like,
teams.
Like, what are you watching, man? The guy can jump. The guy can shoot.
Judge, Mitchell said when I was in front of Detroit before the draft to do the camp, he said I didn't miss a shot.
Really?
I thought for sure I'm going to Detroit. So that's
which
that,
makes it
that,
even
that
worse.
That burns. That burns. That's like Darko Milicic
that hurts,
burning.
But
that burns you like Darko Milicic.
There's another one.
Who's like the
who also didn't
like,
miss a shot.
Might have been in the last 15 years
oh
the
my God,
best
give me
class.
A fucking break.
The best class that
the
ever
worst
came out of before the one and done deal. Like we had like
we
oh my God, the Hall of Famers that are in the first top 10 there are unbelievable.
We might have the two worst draft picks of all time. Forget about Jordan and the draft pick thing. Jordan wasn't that great of a college player.
Wow, dude.
He wasn't.
Was fantastic, dude.
He wasn't. What's his name? Bowie was a better college
it
player.
It was the center. It was because of
well,
the
right.
center.
Yeah, but listen, position. Milicic qualifies to me as the worst draft pick in NBA history. 100%.
We've got a strong
now,
case there.
Now this Luke Kennard and Mitchell thing might be the second.
No,
no it's too early,
not
man.
Not Mitchell.
What do you mean too early? I'm talking about right now.
He's having a sophomore slump.
If he can you're start
already,
the guy and let him run the offense,
you're
maybe
give,
he
you're
can
gonna
justify
give,
himself.
You're
going
to give Sam Bowie a pass?
Come on, man.
You were talking about
Come
the greatest
man.
Of all time that was drafted.
Jordan. But at the
it
time,
Jordan,
at the time.
Bro.
Jordan
at,
was third, wasn't he?
Third, yeah.
So Hakeem.
Wait, what, Hakeem?
It was Hakeem.
Oh, Hakeem, okay.
Yeah.
So, Bowie.
No, listen, when they pick
everybody forgets about Hakeem because
only you did.
Of Sam Bowie.
I don't forget about Hakeem.
Only you did, Dota.
Best center ever.
We got you for that, boy.
The best center of all time.
Copy editors.
Listen.
Does anybody think that the coach is the problem? That Casey's the problem?
Well,
I
warned Pistons fans about that hire because I don't know. You know, I feel like Detroit has a reputation for hiring probably the right guy at the wrong time. Like Ron Gardenhire probably should have been the Tigers manager before Brad Ausmus. That team was ready to win.
There's a good book to be written about that whole incident.
Right?
Yeah. That's very interesting.
Yeah, I thought he was the guy. Dwayne Casey, I don't know. Was this the – you know, you have Stan Van Gundy, who's I still believe is a good coach, who goes and makes his trade to bring in Blake and is trying to put the pieces around. Now, yeah, he's had 3-4 years. The draft picks haven't panned out. But this was the first major move he's made, and he didn't get a chance to put his vision into place. And I think he did have a vision. I think he's a guy that always has a plan. And then you bring in, yeah, it was a no-brainer because he's coach of the year, and you bring in Dwayne Casey, and he's got all this intellect, and he draws these great plays out of timeouts. But is this roster the guy you want to give to one of the presumably better coaches in the NBA? He can't. When you have crap ingredients, you can't make a masterpiece. You can't make anything.
No. I was watching the San Antonio game last week. So they're in the game. They had the lead for a long time, but anyway, they lose the lead when Reggie Jackson comes in and they turn the ball over for dunks about 3 times in a row.
Oh, right?
So now they're down with less than a minute to go, and Casey draws up a play, and he gets Blake Griffin an open three in the corner. He nails it, and they're down like a point or two, and they get the ball back with about 10 seconds to go. Reggie Jackson comes up the floor. He leaves his feet in the backcourt, and he throws a diagonal pass.
I saw it.
Yeah.
You know the
to
play
Bullock.
I'm talking
about? Yeah, they lost the ball. We got a chance. We
I thought
get a
Casey's
chance.
Head was going to come off.
Oh, yeah. That's such a bonehead move. That's Reggie. He did it today, too.
You don't ever see that pass.
He was
pass.
Doing it today, too.
Nobody
turning
throws
the ball
that
over.
Pass.
Yeah.
No. Maybe in
he
grade
didn't even
school.
Get around. Judge, you're a guard. I'm a shooting guard. He didn't even let the guy get around the screen yet. He threw the ball like 2 seconds early.
Yeah.
Hit him in the head. Like, what are you doing, man?
It was
man?
Awful. It
like,
was
what
awful.
Are you doing? Yeah, he's a bonehead.
You need to bench this guy, man. I'm telling you. You need to bench him. He needs to come off the bench.
I couldn't even
I don't
to
care.
Him, just
no, I did. There's so many plays like that, though, Judge, that happened this year. I watched a lot of games.
You've got about
there's
16,
so,
not,
you got there's
about
so 16 many of
million
them.
Reasons not yeah. to bench.
No, but still, yeah. you got to – maybe he can be a better player off the bench. I don't know what
not,
it is.
Now
you got to try
no,
different
things. Now with his attitude.
It's a head, it's
he's
attitude
not,
thing. It's
there's
a head
no
thing.
Flow in his offense.
Listen.
They're all over the place. They're lost.
Him and
Drew. Why do you think Blake Griffin is bringing the ball up? Why do you think he's posting up? Why do you think he's setting a pick? Why
do you think Mark, you could possibly get some use out of him?
He's setting his own pick for his own play.
As the third guard like Vinny Johnson.
Absolutely not.
And give him the ball for 5 minutes. It's a second team.
It's a character problem.
Go nuts. Shoot the ball. Do whatever you want.
Reggie.
No.
Let him have the
Vinny
ball.
Johnson, no.
That's a great idea, but he ain't going to buy into that.
It's a character problem.
He's a guy that was in Oklahoma City.
It's a character defect.
Here's a guy in Oklahoma City who's the fifth guy best on the team saying that he's the best player on the team when they had Durant, Harden, Westbrook, and there was another guy before him probably that they had. And he was crying about
Ibaka.
Time and minutes. And he was crying. They had to get rid of him, and that's why he got that contract because he was great off the bench. He ain't buying into that. He ain't buying. Right. And to go back to coaching – I always say coaching is a psychological thing. Stan Van Gundy is a fantastic basketball mind. He's great. He knows everything. I went to a bunch of games at the Palace, and I sat behind the bench, and all I did was watch the players' reactions to Stan Van Gundy. They don't even care about him. They never bought into him as players. It's a different game. It's a different era of players. These guys are young. They want young people. They just don't. They want more friends than to listen to a coaching mind. They don't want that old school mentality. Like, this guy knows what he's doing. I got to listen to the coach. They don't want that. You got to be like a Popovich that just coming off of a championship, and he's struggling over there in San Antonio. He's not having the greatest time. You need talent, and you need people to buy into what you're doing and a reputation. This guy he's got no shot. He's got to have talent to win. That's why coaching. Look at what's going on with Brad Stevens. How's he gonna do if he doesn't have Kyrie playing? What's he doing? He's got the same talent. He's got 6 guys that have played the same position, and they still haven't made a move yet to get rid of these guys.
I think they're going
to
figure it out.
They're all struggling. Rozier says he's bitching about he can't find his role. He doesn't like coming off the bench. Kyrie's hurt every other day. Oh, everybody's Brad Stevens. He's the best coach. He's the young. He's this. This. What's he doing this year off of a great season? Coaching is managing egos and getting people in line to play. If they don't respect you, there's nothing you can do. They make more money by triple or 4 times the amount you do every year. How do you get those guys, and most of them come from no money, so they don't understand the dynamic or respect the dynamic of money. They're looking at you to tell me what to do, and we're on a losing streak. Like, they're like, I want to get mine. I want to be on social media. I want to post my stuff. Look at NBA on Instagram posting all these guys' numbers. Everybody's got 42-12. You'll see the stuff on Instagram.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Every night you've seen everybody's stats, all stat-based. Let me get my numbers. And they're not going to respect to win. They want to win, and they want to win with high numbers, and that's not going to work. And the coaches are struggling with that. They're struggling.
They are. But I think a guy like Brad Stevens is going to figure it out. There are so many variables to what's going on there in Boston.
How do you look at that, though? How's he going to figure out? Look at the players. Are they figuring it out on the court?
Well,
is Jason Tatum figuring out? When's Jason Tatum going to become an all-star, a superstar? You can't put up eight.
I think they need to – I think with him, they need to figure out – like, he's got to be their go-to guy. He's their playmaker.
He's not the player.
He's got to be the number one
option. He's not the player. How's he going to figure that out?
I think he can be.
He's trying to figure out who's going to put in for who.
I think part of the problem with them is they've got, you know, it was a double-edged sword. You had these younger guys mature much faster than they were supposed to, and then now they think they're at the same level as a Kyrie, a Gordon Hayward. So you're bringing two all-stars back into the mix that you didn't have all year last year. You had these guys.
What I'm trying to say to all,
you got
time,
to the Eastern Conference Finals in a Game 7 with those guys, man.
It's a different era, man. That's why I say basketball now is entertainment. Basketball is my favorite sport. I watch it. It's entertainment. Because when you have people who you think are stand-up guys, like Kawhi Leonard, who you think is just all in with Popovich, and they're like this, does what he does last year just to get out, that opens up everybody. We can get out. We can do whatever we want. Contracts mean nothing. We're going to get out, and we're going to go play. If we're not happy, we'll just say we want out.
I mean, that's been a long
Butler,
time. Guys demanding trades.
Every year, two, three guys, either contracts. What's the point of a contract? Yeah, Butler. Look at Butler. He's making a mess in Philly. He's making a mess in Minnesota. Made a mess in Chicago. And they just keep giving him what he wants to give him. Now you're going to pass that on. Everybody, where are they going to go? Nah, if I'm not happy here, I'll just say I want out. And then they got to get him out because they're like, what are we going to do? He's going to be disgruntled. It costs us money. He doesn't. It's just the players are running the show.
I think it comes down to this. I don't think guys, coaches, GMs, whoever it is, I don't think guys are being honest with guys about their roles on the team. Whether it's a company thing, whether it's
The coaches being honest with the players?
I'm saying
– or players being honest with who they really are as players.
Well, there's some self-awareness. Like, some people have it, some people don't. You can't build that.
The winning teams have it.
But I'm just saying, I think guys have to be – like Carmelo Anthony in Oklahoma City. He goes there and coach.
D'Antoni?
No, I'm talking about Oklahoma City.
Oh,
Florida guy.
Yeah, Florida guy.
You know what I'm talking about. Billy Donovan. I don't think they were ever honest with him about what the expectation of his role was going to be on that team. So if he comes in and they say, hey, you're going to be a starter, you're going to be one of our playmakers.
He's not accepting the role, Dota.
Well,
that's my point.
But I don't think they were ever honest with him, and that's what I think is the problem.
Because these guys are so sensitive, Judge. They're so sensitive, these players. If you got to stroke them, give them $40 million a year, stroke
well, what's the point
them,
in
give
bringing
them the
him
shots,
in?
Give them the minutes. Give them the part of the concession stand. Give them the ticket sales.
What's the point of bringing a guy on like that if you're not going to be honest with them?
That's just how it is. That's my point. They're not buying into, like, we're going to do whatever we got to do to win. Like the old days. And I mean, I'm not being the old guy here trying to be old.
Look at us. The old days
were better than this.
Look at the New England Patriots. They don't have that problem. How many guys on that team come out and say, I need to play more, I need to start more, I need to do this more? They don't have that problem.
Because you get cut.
So you're an NBA guy. Why is Denver winning?
Because there's no superstars.
Who's the coach at Denver?
I don't even know what the damn coach is.
Slick hair guy. Damn it. Forgot his name. Dude, pretty good coach. God.
No, they're developing over there.
What's their record?
They're winning because of developing
at the
stars.
They're like second or third in the West.
Oh, Jokic, you don't think he's going to be a super? You're going to have that ego too? He's going to buy in. His agent's going to brainwash him to say, you should be getting $45 million. We're going to renegotiate
a contract. Right now they're killing
everybody. Because they all bought in. They're winning because of what I'm trying to say. They're all bought in. They don't got no egos there. Now they're developing to the team.
It's a beautiful game when you play together.
Well, I'm thinking
the only
else.
Team that's it's controlled egos is Golden State Warriors.
I'm thinking Utah's, yeah.
The only team that I can say has controlled egos, minus Draymond Green because he's out of control. Okay, that guy needs to be traded, is them because they all bought in. They bought in. They all bought in.
And they're shocking
in
the West.
And it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the offseason this year with them because Denver you can't
coach,
get four guys max contracts.
Judge is Mike Malone. I was thinking of the Utah coach. Mike Malone is the Denver coach.
Quinn Snyder is the
Utah guy.
Utah.
That's what I was thinking of.
As soon as you mentioned slick back hair.
The Eagles aren't there on both those teams.
Well,
they got some talent. They got Jokic.
The Eagles weren't
on. The Eagles aren't there. John, they play defense, man. Getting off of the players, they play defense. Those two teams play defense.
Don't forget, they got Isaiah Thomas in the wing. He's about to come.
Judge, those two teams play defense. They buy into defense. But they buy into it.
Boston didn't have the egos problem either until this year. Because they had those young guys grow up.
To your point about New England, everybody buys into the system. That's like Golden State in the NBA. Look at Boogie Cousins. Comes in for a discount. They just come in. They want to win. You go to New England, you want to win.
No, you've got your superstar on that team who says, I'll take less money to improve the O-line, the D-line, to let these other guys, other guys that matter make a smidge more, skosh more.
That's rare.
So they can stay.
The contracts are different.
They got to talk about that more often about Brady doing that.
He doesn't get enough credit for that.
You got to talk about that more.
You have the guy who's in the conversation.
That doesn't happen.
For probably, the last 7-8 years? In the conversation.
The best players in the league.
The greatest
of
all time.
To be the GOAT. And he's taking less money by a lot.
His wife makes a lot of money.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, there you go.
You ain't taking less money if your wife's making more money than you. Don't worry. You ain't taking less money. I don't care. Money's money, man. That's a whole other thing. But that's a different thing. Like, no one talks about that enough. We know about it, but it's not talked about.
He doesn't get enough credit for that.
In the same era where you got Antonio Brown not refusing to play because of this contract and all this stuff, franchise tag and all that.
Listen, Patriots run's over. They're losing tonight. To the Chargers. I'm putting it out there.
Tonight? Wow. Right. They don't even play till tomorrow. That's
amazing.
Oh,
they play tomorrow. I'm sorry. I thought they played tonight.
That's amazing.
I'm sorry. Who's playing right now?
What do you got over there, Judge? You got fantasy baseball? Fantasy football going on?
No, I was just looking. Denver's 28-12.
I know.
Are we talking fantasy?
I can't even name a guy on their team.
Murray. Jokic, man.
Jokic.
MVP.
The most uncoordinated, best big man of all time. I'm like, how do you make that shot? He didn't even get off the ground. He didn't even jump.
He scores 21 and 15 assists. He's a triple-double threat. They're saying that he could be the next.
It's entertainment, Mark. Everybody's
getting
triple-doubles.
No, but like as a big guy, as a center, power forward, whatever you want to call him, they say he can be averaging a triple-double season comes.
That's watered down.
I went to a game this year in Atlanta. Okay, I went to the semifinal of the Major League Soccer. There were 70-some thousand people at the game in that fantastic stadium. Okay, so at the end of the game, they say hey, the Hawks are playing next door, and you can get in for $10.
Come on.
No, I'm serious.
That's fantastic. Wow.
So they're walking next door.
Well, they're the worst team in the league, Judge. I should just open the doors for zero.
Lower bowl, too.
Really?
Wow. Lower bowl.
Wow.
Listen, I could have met everybody there.
Really?
There's nobody there.
Wow.
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 There's nobody there. I think they were playing Carolina with a good point guard. Kemba Walker.
Oh, Kemba.
Well, Charlotte. Yeah. Charlotte.
And Trey Young for Atlanta.
Yeah.
But, wow. Empty.
I think most of their money comes from the TV contracts.
Absolutely.
That's just extra money.
Do you think Atlanta messed up on the Trey Young and the Doncic swap?
That Doncic can play.
Play, right?
You imagine Doncic on Atlanta?
You watch him run. He looks like a lug, but
he doesn't know. He's non-athletic. But
he's like the next Dirk Nowitzki.
No, I said he's a modern-day Larry Bird.
I could see that because he's certainly slow.
He's slow, but he knows how to create space and get the shot off. He's an athlete.
He's the Bartolo Colon of the NBA.
No, come on. That's dramatic.
No,
he's a Larry Bird, a modern-day Larry Bird, who can create a step.
You're right.
Larry Bird had a step back before step backs were cool. The step back, the triple step back, whatever you want to call it.
It was because he had that shitty
mustache.
But Larry
Bird had
that short.
The reason why space because he couldn't do it with speed.
The reason why I mentioned Dirk Nowitzki is they had the side-by-side of a same move.
Not even close to Dirk.
But I know. I'm just saying because he played and
Dirk can't get to the lane.
I don't know why he's still playing, by the way.
Oh, my God.
He's going to be the last player to play 20
years
like for one franchise.
Who cares? Get out of there.
Dirk Nowitzki looks like a power walker. You ever see those guys at the mall?
I worked at the mall, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
You know what I'm saying?
But he almost walked like that when he was in his prime. Like, he was
always
stumbling a little bit.
No, it's so bad. It's like
he always stumbled like
it's like when you get up off the couch when you're over 40 and you want to go get something.
Like me last week.
That's Dirk Nowitzki running off the court. You know?
Like me last week.
I got a Larry Bird story for you.
Here we go. We finally cracked the safe.
My friend Dave Grauser is playing basketball for Central Michigan. Okay.
Right. Woo! Fire up chips.
Yeah. And I think Dave still holds the assist and steal records at Central. Anyway, at Rose Arena, when Central goes down into the locker room during warmups, the place is packed and they boo the star of the other team every time he misses a shot. They go nuts. Okay. So they're down in the locker room, and they know this is going on up there, and the gym is dead silent the whole time they're down there. Bird goes for 49.
Oh, you're talking about back then. Oh, yeah. Bird. Oh, yeah. Central?
So Bird was playing for Indiana State.
Yeah. Oh, wow. My God, dude.
That's fantastic. Wow. Yeah. So
didn't miss a shot during warm-ups.
Unbelievable.
The crowd couldn't even get on him.
Unbelievable.
Wow, way to take the air out of the room, huh? Oh, my God. Hey, be remiss not to talk about Michigan basketball since we have a Michigan alum here.
Yeah.
Man, are they on fire.
They're on fire. They got the best coach.
Oh, my God.
I go to the games. They've got the best coach. He's done such a good job. And the players get so much better while they're there.
I've been talking about this for a couple of years now, and I've been saying that I think John Beilein is the best basketball coach in the state of Michigan. And it rubs people the wrong way because of Tom Izzo over in East Lansing, but I just think John Beilein has adapted to the game. I think he's relating to these young players more than Tom Izzo is in this day and age.
Well, let's start by saying how lucky we are that we got two top 10 teams, fantastic programs going head to head every
year.
Right?
I love that.
It's fantastic. Yeah. You couldn't have two different styles of basketball.
Well, and given the state of all the other major sports we have here, this is all we have to hang our hats on.
That's a good point. That's sad but true. But
I know.
You know, you've got Michigan State basically, you know, you see them practice, they're beating the hell out of each other.
So you don't hate on State, huh?
No. I think Izzo.
You're both ways. That's how I am, too.
Izzo's got a fantastic record. I don't like his style of basketball. It's a very muscled, tough.
It's ugly.
Beilein is
it's not
kind of like the Bad Boys style
of
basketball.
Yeah.
And Beilein is, you see guys progress in their skills like crazy, you know, while they're there.
You got a good point
about
that.
And he's putting these guys in the NBA that are not five-star recruits. And they're, you know.
They play hard, man, for him.
Hardaway got $71 million.
I know.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
I know.
Yeah.
And at Michigan, he wasn't that great.
He got 71.
No, he was the third option.
He was not that great at Michigan.
He was the third option.
He was good, but he was
very streaky.
I mean, that's fantastic.
What does he got? Five guys in the NBA right now?
I don't know.
He's got the guy in L.A.
I haven't thought about that.
He hasn't played
Wagner.
Yet.
He ain't doing shit, though. You don't know what
Wagner,
he's
Trey Burke, Hardaway Jr., Glenn Robinson III playing for
he's horrible.
For
he's horrible,
the Pistons.
He sucks.
Stauskas.
And Stauskas over. Where's he now? Is he in Portland?
Portland.
I don't understand how these guys
and
LeVert.
LeVert.
Yeah. How these guys
in Brooklyn.
He
was having a great start to the
LeVert
year.
LeVert was killing the Pistons.
The game has changed. Judge, you said it to me in a conversation a while ago. Like we grew up in a wrong era. I mean, we're many eras difference, but we're shooters. This is a shooting era. Like you could just pull up and just gun. If you can shoot, they're gonna highlight you in their offense. They'd be like, we're gonna get the ball to the shooter, you know?
In our defense, Johnny, our coaches let us shoot the three when it was worth two.
Come on, Judge. You only had about 15-foot range, man. You thought it was a three, but it really was a two.
I don't think they had a line when he played, no?
No.
I'm sorry.
That's what he's saying, Mark. You just missed the whole point. You're checking your fantasy picks over there.
Hey, I played in gyms where the over and back line was not half court because the gyms were so small. They had to give you another line.
That's funny. We played summer ball at St. Cecilia. I don't know if you ever played at St. Cecilia in Detroit.
With the poles.
Yeah, the poles. Yeah, extension poles are in the middle, almost in the middle quarter. They're out of bounds.
Fantastic.
And the wall is out of bounds. The line is literally on the wall.
My God.
You had to, the ball had to hit the wall. You could even hit the wall with your elbow. You're out. And that's where all the legends played. Magic,
that's
Isaiah.
Fantastic.
When we played against, Robert Tractor Trailer and Maurice Taylor and Shane Battier. Yeah. I mean, that's where we played our summer league. Our summer college league was there. And that gym is just like this.
Plus,
I mean,
drunk guys off the street.
Oh, my God. What do you mean? My coach was drunk.
We might have fantastic players you never heard of.
I might have been drunk one time.
I
took a little bit of that Colt 45.
That's fantastic. Speaking of no three-point lines, Judge, you were telling some stories about Pete Maravich.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to attend LSU during his senior year. So he.
So you went to LSU and Michigan?
I transferred after 2 years at LSU to Michigan, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but I did see the pistol do his thing.
Wow. How was that? How was the vibe about him there back then? Because we don't know much about him. Stories.
You know, the greatest basketball game I ever went to was the Celtics and Phoenix Game 5 triple overtime NBA Finals in Boston Garden. And all the Pete Maravich games I saw at LSU.
So you went to law
school. Every game was unbelievable.
So you went to law school in Boston, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that you were there for that. Okay. Yeah.
But he just put on a show every night. I mean, you know, let's go watch Pete get 50 because he's going to get 50.
Unbelievable. Yeah, right? Wow.
Incredible.
And the first 5 minutes, he was showtime. He would do a lot of dribbling and passing because He's probably a better ball handler and passer than shooter.
Well, I've read the I heard the stories and read about him, you know.
So he would put that show on, and you'd be laughing at some of the crazy stuff he could do, you know.
And he would do them in the games, though.
Oh, yeah.
That's what the crazy
and
part
was. If, I'll tell you what, if you're on the floor with him, you better get your hands up.
Yeah.
Because you won't even know you're open, and that ball will hit you in the head.
Oh, my God.
But then he would.
You think he's the greatest college basketball ever played? College basketball player.
No. I think he's the greatest guy ever at getting a shot.
Getting his shot.
He can get a shot
anywhere.
Every time.
That's important.
Yeah. Every time. Yeah. And it
That's
doesn't take him long.
Who do you think is the greatest basketball college
He's
basketball
also
player?
Faster with the ball than without the ball.
Unbelievable.
He's unbelievably fast with the ball. Like, I laugh when guys go through their legs and they're still in the same spot. They all do that.
That's a great point.
They all do that now. When
he would do that full speed.
He would bounce the ball. It seemed like it would, you know, from the time he had it back here and bounced it through his legs and changed direction on the fly, that ball's traveling 15 feet to his other hand.
My God.
He was
He's
ahead of his time.
Exploding past everybody.
He was way ahead of his time.
So,
by decades,
you know, he,
right?
Yeah, he was.
Oh yeah,
he could play in today's game.
Oh, for sure.
Like that with that hand.
Plus, all about his dad was the coach.
He was tough.
So they, that helps. You know, they set out. They wanted to break a record, and I was there the night he broke Oscar Robertson's record. It still stands, the all-time scoring record. That's, you know, that's a long time ago. What is that? That's 1970.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
I'm going close to 50 years.
And you have freshmen eligible now. They still can't break that record with a 3-point.
Yeah,
shot
back then
and
they had
clock.
A freshman team.
They
yeah.
got a shot clock and everything.
Yeah,
else.
Back then it was freshman man, team. Like man. You were a freshman, you played on a freshman team.
Yeah.
You weren't allowed to play on the varsity team. It was still that freshman, varsity, JV, varsity stuff, right, going on back
yeah,
then?
Yeah, play freshman
I remember that. Yeah. Now that you mentioned it, I read about that.
That's crazy.
What a nickname. It was different, too. I mean, the league, SEC was all white.
Different,
no black
yeah.
players.
Rupp Arena, Rupp.
My brother was there 4 years after me. It changed so fast. In 4 years, the team was all black.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it integrated, and it just, it, you know, I mean.
Changed everything.
Elvin Hayes was from Louisiana. He should have gone to LSU. He went to Houston. Willis Reed was from Louisiana. He went to Grambling. LSU got nobody. They were terrible. The whole league was terrible except for Kentucky. And then Pete came in, and everybody got into basketball.
Yeah. You know? Wow, yeah. I saw that documentary on him. It's fantastic.
Wow.
We don't hear much about Pistol Pete. We don't.
I've heard about him as a basketball player, a kid.
So
I've heard and hit the stories.
He's just not
in the
conversation.
This is the first thing I ever saw him do in a game. They're playing an exhibition against Athletes in Action. Jump ball. The LSU guy tips it along half court. It takes one bounce, and it's going onto the scorer's table. Okay? He runs over. He lands on the scorer's table. But before he goes on the scorer's table, he grabs the ball in his left hand and flips it behind his head to the rim for a layup.
I just can't even make this up.
I've seen him for 2 seconds at that point.
Yeah, you just got it. There was action right
so
there.
He's 6'5". He weighs about 180 pounds. There's nothing to him. If he showed up on your campus today, you'd send him to the weight room.
Right.
But he's the most agile and flexible, and in terms of controlling the basketball, you've never seen anybody like that, you know. Yeah. So in that sense, he's got the perfect body. He's super fast. He can.
What
jump.
About like how often did you see him? Did you see him like multiple times?
Like once a week during basketball.
Okay, so
season.
Like how was this like his field goal percentage? Was it high? Was it like too much shooting? Was it like Jesus? Now in hindsight, looking back, would you be like, man, that guy just ball hogged?
I think he shot about 45%.
Oh, that's good. That's great for a shooter from the field. You know,
I'd take that.
I mean, I like 50, but 45. For, you know, scoring 40 and 50 points a game.
He has
that's
every
good.
Kind of shot you can imagine and then some.
Just crafty, just knowing with the ball, knowing that how it fun. Moves through the court and through the hoop and the directions, and it's the handling. Ball handling is huge. It's so big. It's so important.
Well, when you and when you're so a 6'5" guy handling the ball that way.
If you can handle the ball in basketball, it's most important. We were talking about that earlier about kids, and my son's 9 and plays AAU ball. All the best players at 9 years old are ball handlers. Yeah. I mean, scoring is not a big deal because if you score 8 points, 10 points, that's a big scoring day for a 9-year-old. Sure. But you handle the presses. I told him they just attack you. They attack my son, and then they lose the ball. If you can get through and break that press at a young age, everybody backs up.
Yeah.
When that kid comes up and he's got handles, everybody backs up.
Yeah.
They're like, we don't, you know, he knows what he's going to do. He's going to create space. He can create moves. It's so important, man.
This is one of the things I like about Michigan. They pass and catch the ball. Perfect. He does it, makes them do it all the time.
That's Beilein's system,
they
though, man.
They do not turn the ball over.
They move the ball.
And they're hitting free throws this year, which was kind of like their Achilles heel last year.
They have picked that up lately.
Yeah.
I think the best thing in basketball this year will be Cassius Winston against Xavier Simpson.
That's going to be fun to watch.
Two games like that.
How do you think they match up against us? When we're talking about Michigan State, but how do you think they match up with a team like Duke? You think they can handle?
I think they can beat Duke.
I like Michigan against anybody, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah. Me too.
That's saying a lot.
They played Indiana the other night, and Indiana's two guys got in foul trouble in the first 5 minutes. As soon as that happened, they killed Indiana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
they killed North Carolina.
They're beating ranked teams.
They killed Villanova.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? They're not just beating them. They got them down. They have like a 30-10 stretch in 10 minutes. Right?
I believe, you can check me on this, but I believe they have double-digit wins against every ranked team they've played this year. And
to give them credit, they keep more of their players than like big five-star team, you know, five-star recruit teams like Kentucky, Duke.
Yeah.
So like Villanova didn't maybe have a great recruiting class, and they beat like so it's not the same. It's not like the old days, like the Duke's teams and the North Carolina teams stayed for 2-3 years and they beat them. They were champions last year, and the same team came back. They're like Villanova's like a whole different team. Like all these other top teams, like Duke has a whole different team.
They're
a whole different team.
Credit to Krzyzewski because he's adapted to.
I'm just saying though,
happening.
Like Michigan, we got a lot of the players back, you know, and we're doing good in it. And I'm talking both sides here. It's just like that's why they're good, but like to beat these, I don't know, they're great. I'd love to see them play Duke.
I think they have his best rebounding team. The two forwards can rebound. Charles Matthews and Brezdakis can rebound.
Yeah,
they're tough kids.
Brezdakis
and to the extent he's had a weakness, that's probably been the weakness.
You know,
they get beat up on the offensive board sometimes.
But I love how he lets them play, though. He just lets them go, man. Bertakis just plays. He goes to the lane. He does step backs, crossovers, turns the ball over, big deal. You know, like just let them guys play ball. He lets them play Beilein. And his communication you can see on the sideline. Judge, I'm a big psychology guy, and I can see him how he connects to his players.
Yes.
Teske shoot the three. You're coming out if you take that shot.
Yeah, he's making him a player.
He makes you shoot.
He's making him a player.
Instead of, you know, having second thoughts about shooting, no, he's telling you have to shoot.
I love that. How big is confidence in a shooter?
I'll tell you who played great against Indiana was Brandon Johns.
Yes. Brandon Johns.
Yes.
I was hanging out with Brandon Johns last at Michigan State. My son had an AAU tournament there at State, and he was working it. So I'm looking at this guy. He's like, we're just shoot me, my son, and him, and another guy are just shooting around before a game, in between games. The games are all over the intramural buildings, and he was working one of them. And I'm looking at this guy, and he's like 6'10", 6'9", shooting from volleyball with a nice form. He's catching oops from his friend, and he's passing it to my son. And I'm like, where are you playing? He's like, Michigan. I didn't even know who he was, all right? I don't follow – to be honest with you, I really don't follow high school basketball as much as I should. Mm-hmm. So I'm just like – looking him up, I'm talking to my buddy Frank. Well, who's this guy, Brandon Johns? Look at him. Oh, he's the number two player in the state. Look, he's working the door.
Frank knows his
high
school.
He's like, I'm going to Michigan. So I'm like, I'm watching this guy shoot, nailing threes, Judge. I mean, well, pure, not just rattling them in.
He played 10 minutes. He had 8 points, eight rebounds, and he blocked Juwan Morgan.
I know, but
he was awesome.
I'm honestly disappointed. I thought he would be more of a player than he is, coming off the bench, not playing some games. I thought, but it goes to show that they got better players ahead of him. He's a freshman, but I thought he was going to be a badass.
In my opinion, he's not playing because he doesn't have the timing of the ball screen and roll to the basket yet.
Yeah,
and Beilein's that has to be done right. Right.
Possibly. I'm not going to.
For that offense.
They're pretty precise about that.
I'm not going to second-guess Beilein, honestly.
And that kid's going to play a lot before the year's over.
Yeah, I was just impressed. I was watching him. I'm telling my son, I'm watching. He caught this oop from half court, and he just did this double pump. I'm like, this guy's an athlete. And then he plays out there. He looks like he's like one of the big guys that are there to rebound and just outlet. And you get
can shoot.
He could play. Yeah, I was surprised. I'm like, what's going on with this guy?
It's fun to watch. I love watching. You know, you talk about the different dynamics. Like, and that's why I said right away when you were talking about Beilein, the way he connects with players. Like, you see him, he has passion on the sidelines, a lot of passion.
Yeah.
But it's so different the way he spends that energy compared to Tom Izzo, who's red in the face. And it,
yeah,
you know, his,
I don't know if that works.
I don't think it works as much
anymore,
man. Anymore. These kids are sensitive, man. It's
the Flintstones was a long time ago, man.
For real.
The Flintstones was a long time ago, Judge.
Yeah, Michigan State's playing great right now.
I love that.
They're playing great.
Yeah.
Listen,
they
love that.
And college basketball is different. Like, you got zone defenses. Look what they're doing to Zion Williamson at Duke. Like, he's a beast. But when he gets to NBA, he's gonna be better in NBA because they don't play that zone defense where they jump in the paint and you gotta kick it back out. You know that college defense.
What do you think about Zion, Judge?
You know, I haven't seen him that much.
Oh no.
He's fantastic.
He's all over the TV. How'd you not? He's all over the place.
He's a Michigan guy, man. He's focused on Michigan, Ann Arbor.
Michigan and Michigan State are Final Four teams.
Oh. Yeah, I think so too. I think Michigan could win as much as I like Duke, I've said this before, I really don't think they're going to make the Final Four this year.
Well, yeah, you and I were talking about it before the show last week.
I'm a huge Zion fan. I love watching excitement, explosive players like that, athletes. But I just think that they don't have enough shooting and they don't play that great defense.
They'll be in the four.
You got to win six games.
They'll be in the four.
You get these teams.
And both Michigan
I like
and
Virginia,
Michigan State
though.
Have great point guards.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like Virginia, though.
I mean,
Virginia could be tough.
The point about Duke, like Krzyzewski, it's, you know, he had to adapt to the game, right? He never used to really recruit one and duns.
Yeah.
He's probably got three of them on his team this year.
Yeah.
So he's going to, he draws the big games and the big interest, the national media and all that stuff. But come tournament time, you know, they're going to expose those weaknesses of those guys.
He's training these guys how to become players. He's training these, like, these talented athletes, man, to become players and learn like how to play ball.
Who's their point guard?
Trey, what's his name?
Is he related to the
his brother?
Minnesota? It's
his brother, Minnesota.
Jones.
Not Tyus Jones. His name is Trey Jones.
Trey Jones. Yeah,
he's good, solid. Doesn't look to score a lot.
Yeah. I like Michigan and Michigan State. Junior Cassius Winston and Xavier Simpson.
I don't know, man.
Let those juniors that have been battle tested.
I don't know about Winston. I don't know about him, man. Jordan Poole.
Go with the judge.
Jordan Poole developing into a player, though.
Poole is lighting it up.
Playing good. He's developing. The last three, four games I've watched.
He's got a lot of game.
Yep.
He's getting confidence. This is coaching.
He can go to the basket.
This is coaching.
He's not just a shooter.
It is coaching.
LeVert wasn't that. I mean, he was good at Michigan, but, man, he went up to another level when he was playing in Brooklyn. This year, I'm saying.
Yeah, like, last year he was.
It's all coaching. It's all studying the game.
I'm
it's
not
going
to compare NBA to college.
I'm just saying, like,
NBA is
a
entertainment
huge jump,
to me.
Man.
The defense
made a
is
huge
not
jump.
There. Everybody's scoring in NBA. Everybody. If you
LeVert
can't,
just came
you can't
out
score
nowhere.
In NBA now, I don't know. I think I can score in NBA. You can probably hit a couple buckets.
They leave me alone.
Step back.
They gotta leave me alone.
You think you got that new step back? You think you got that hard and step back, Judge?
Do I have to run to the other end?
This guy plays. What other sports did you play? Let's talk about the judge a little bit. Let's put it on.
I'm playing 65 over 65.
He's playing
hardball.
Hardball baseball.
Oh, I love that.
All right, hardball. I don't even know if they play still hardball. I thought it was always softball.
Oh, it's so fun and hilarious.
You're a basketball player.
Those are my two.
You play golf. You're a golfer.
A little bit.
What do you mean?
Are you okay? Let's ask you this. Are you on the suck side of average?
I'm way on that side now.
No. What's your handicap, Judge? What are you, honestly?
I don't even know now.
Come on.
But I'm definitely in double digits.
Barely, maybe a 10. Come on. If you're a basketball player, you said you're a shooter.
At one time, I was a 5.
You're a 10 then. You're a shooter. You can play golf. It's hand in hand. I'm telling you, I don't know.
Hold on a second there.
You're not a shooter, Mark.
I'm a shooter.
Come on. You're a standstill shooter.
I'm a shooter.
If I play a little, I can putt.
Well, you keep the ball
and
play.
I'll make some putts.
You keep the ball and play, and you can putt. You're a 10.
We gotta
automatic.
We got to go with Judge to Top Golf. See about
you mean X-Golf?
Or what's it called?
Oh, we go to X-Golf. Top Golf,
too. You got to let me move up.
X-Golf.
You can play with Doda and the Reds.
You
can
let me play.
You'll see how good I am.
You can play with Marco.
Judge, I'm
so good. I play white tees.
I'm so good.
Play the age-appropriate tee.
Judge, my shots are so good that the screen messes up.
They're so good.
There's a malfunction going on.
They're so good he uses the same club for every shot. Tee shot, 4-iron.
Mark doesn't let the club dictate the distance. Mark lets the power.
John, what do I use here? 100 out, 4-iron. John, I'm in the bunker. What do I use? 4-iron.
He's a shot maker.
Exactly.
He's a shot maker.
You hear that?
Yeah.
Judge, let's take it outside of sports because, you know, we build this show around sports and entertainment, but we talk about a lot of other things going on. Is there anything going on in the world locally in this country that's bothering? Like, do you watch Making a Murderer? Do you know the story? Are you into that stuff? Are you? Is there anything else that's
television?
Yeah.
No, I don't watch that. The only thing I watch is the political stuff, and then the sports. I watch all the political stuff I can. Yeah.
So you keep it simple.
It's not so simple right now.
Well, the politics definitely not.
Yeah, it's unbelievable right now. But right. I hold a nonpartisan position, and that's what I stick to.
That's fair.
Wow, that's fair. I think in his career, my job is to
be fair to the people that come in my courtroom and be unbiased. So that's cool. That's what I try and do, and I try and listen to them.
Is there anything that you're seeing today? Like, let's think 2019. Well, it's early in 2019, 2018, 2019. Like, what are the challenges, in the courtroom? Like, are you seeing things now that you're like, man, I never thought I would see something like this? Are you even able to talk about any of that stuff?
You know, the hard part was during the recession. That was difficult, where people were, they couldn't afford lawyers, they couldn't, their house was underwater, you know. So it was a crisis across the board for everybody, you know. And so you see it. Developers, you know, great guys that had made money and employed a lot of people. Come on, they're getting killed.
No, well, we're in that business.
So I learned that, you know, you make money like on a steady thing if you apply yourself and you do the right things and you go. But when it goes bad, you drop off a cliff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They make money because their neck is stuck out.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Some, when it goes bad.
Well, on the flip side of that, they also reach farther than they should. Some of these developers,
there's
sometimes risk,
you know, yeah, and it goes to how the economy, because a lot of them
on
got
how
bailed
much
out.
Risk you can tolerate, right?
You know, developers, another topic. I mean, some of these developers got all their properties back for half the cost. The homeowners never got their property back for half the cost. I work for some of these developers.
Yeah,
they lost their properties. The economy goes bad. The banks are desperate. Yeah. They make deals with the same guy who lost the thing. Make deals with the homeowners. You know, we'll give you your house back if you can make this payment at a certain. That didn't happen.
You know, I was.
You know, but the banks got their money, Judge.
That's my favorite joke about that whole situation is, you know, if I owe you $1,000 and I can't pay it, I'm in trouble. But if I owe you $10 million and I can't pay it, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
and
tough.
That was, you know, that played itself out.
Well, we were
out
in
a lot,
that position.
Sure.
We were in that predicament. We had houses that we painted that we had thousands of dollars in, and we had to make deals. And they found the money when we made the deal.
Yeah.
So I don't feel sorry for some of these developers.
Well, I, you know, it's interesting.
developers are a different story. The people that are losing their jobs, I feel sorry for because they don't have a choice.
It was amazing.
Well, the average homeowner was underwater, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They're getting divorced. Well, they got nothing to.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They've worked. They've
yeah. What's half a zero?
And what they paid $300,000 for is worth $200,000
or less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
It was pretty amazing. I bought my first house during that time, and we probably looked at 15, 20 houses before we found the one, and probably 15 of them were foreclosures.
Right.
And they were under, and what you would see in these homes, man, just people taking golf balls to the walls.
Yeah.
And cutting down, taking chainsaws to the ceilings.
Oh, what do you mean taking hardware? Take the hardware cabinets,
all of that.
All
but
that
I'm just saying, like the stuff that you were, you know,
and
what
I guarantee
mean? Like,
they had nothing to do, they couldn't do nothing with it. They
well,
just
like I can imagine having, yeah. Like trying to make your plea to the bank and say, look, I've got a family. I'm trying to, you know, like
yeah,
you're
putting
me
you,
on the streets.
You,
like
how to judge, how do you take, like, how do you look at a case like that or if that those people are even coming in your courtroom and looking at something that, how do you look at it, like, from a bias standpoint and be like, you know, how do you know? Psychology, right? You got to just kind of look at them. Or are you just taking what the lawyers present? Can you even answer that? I don't even know if that's...
You know, you're trying to work with them. You're trying to find out, is there some way out of this, whatever the lawsuit is, that both sides can live with? That's kind of true in any case. But then you had nothing to work with, right? There's
right.
no equity anywhere.
Right,
yeah.
So
right.
now what are
yeah.
you working with?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, usually somebody wanted the house. Then nobody wanted the house.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
It's just,
It's just, I mean, from our standpoint, when we were looking at it, we were just like, we don't know what the future is going to look like. We don't know. It was like, you know.
I'm actually shocked it came back as well as it's coming.
Yeah.
Back.
Well, we had 20 guys and we went down to one. We stayed afloat. That was the biggest key.
Yeah. Well, that's
it. We stayed afloat. We had good builders that we worked for.
But you had to lose 19 guys.
We had to lose 19 guys, but the point was not to go under.
Right.
was to stay up, stay afloat, stay
you
afloat.
You hustled. You just
wait,
hustle.
Wait, see how it happens. Lose some money. Obviously, we had to pay our one guy or two guys that we had out of our pockets for a little while, and we just had to keep it going. And luckily, we kept it going, and luckily, we were able to keep it going, and then it came back, thank God. But that was a big learning lesson for us as business partners, me and John. To go, like when we first started our company, we hit it off. I mean, we both got married in that time. We both paid our own wedding off with no borrowing of any money of anything. We hit it off, and then, you know, through that economy, you learn a lot.
How about now? How is
now he's back buying the Michael Jordan shoes.
Yeah, this guy
right
now.
Yeah. Here.
Yeah.
You're just in an interesting position in your what you do for a living, and it's just looking at different cases every day from wide ranges.
How much is technology, social media, how much are you seeing that play out in your courtroom?
A lot. And if I were practicing law, I would tell my clients to stay off of social media.
Mm. That's impossible.
That's very hard to do.
It's, you know, you see stuff. It lives forever.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
It doesn't read so well when you dash off something, you know. Without really thinking it through. Yeah. That old thing about writing a letter and sticking it in the drawer for a day, social media doesn't really work that way, does it?
No.
And so the second you send it. Nasty, and then 2 years later, a lawyer's showing that to your judge, right?
That happens a lot, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's got to be that's almost every case, probably, most of them. Something.
People threaten. Or they take pictures of each other.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, that's a whole new ball game, man. That's incredible.
We got a big dog here, guys.
I know. I don't want to stop.
We got into sports. We realized who's sitting over here in the right side.
The nice thing for me, though, is I without question, I have the best assistant of anybody.
Oh,
my
God.
My cousin.
Here we go.
My cousin.
Long time.
Here we go.
The best.
Here we go. It's my sister, by the way.
She is the best.
Vera.
She
shout out to Vera.
Not that she's my cousin. She is the best. Honestly, she's.
I know I'm the only judge in the state, and this has been the case for a long time, whose secretary drives a better car, lives in a better place.
Oh, come on.
Goes on nicer vacations.
Hey, Dona, make sure you send this clip to me so I can send it to Vera.
I will.
Shout out to Vera Sinishtai.
Yeah.
What's her last name?
I don't know what her Twitter handle is, Mark. I don't know if she has a Twitter handle.
She's
on
Instagram.
I don't know.
We'll find her. We'll post it out there. I'm just excited that we got all the three of us over here got get out of jail free cards for bringing.
No, it's
on
great.
The show.
I know. Judge is a big sports fan, but the last few years I got to know him and talk a little bit more. And he's trying to set up something for with Greg Esler, the De La Salle coach for us. And we just got to talking about sports. I'm like, man, you got to come on the show first.
That's
before
great.
I set that up. I mean, we got to talk. It's just that's what the show's about. It's just about talking about sports.
You got to get Greg on here. He's got over 500 wins.
Well, we're gonna get him. We're
he's
gonna get him on here. With your help.
He's got a ton of stories.
Oh, he means a lot to me.
And we
that
can't
guy,
wait.
He wasn't my coach. He means a lot to me. So,
he did a thing this year. I got to go to a Michigan State practice and a Michigan practice, and Beilein and Izzo talked to us like for an hour. They're both fantastic.
That's great.
And to watch how the two teams practice, they're totally different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're both really good. You know, it was really something to
see.
That
wasn't in the same day, obviously. There was no time for that. But was it in the same week or something like that?
They're about a week apart, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, right that's before the cool. season. It was awesome.
Man.
Wow, that's great.
They had Charles Matthews with a coach play left-handed for 2 hours by himself.
Wow.
That's
and
great.
And do nothing but make left-handed moves and
that's
build
great.
On each move right for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Mark plays with himself left-handed. He calls it the stranger.
You mean plays basketball?
I got a good left. I got a good left.
Only when that right sword. What's going on here, man?
I don't know what happened.
What the hell?
Throwing a curveball. That was a curveball.
Oh my God! Strike right there, right?
Judge is turning red over here.
Good straight line.
Oh, I got the fist bump from the judge.
Oh,
I got the
God.
Fist bump.
What do you mean? You're under. We have like three or four going.
Sorry, it was a little hanging fruit. I had to go.
Wow.
I had to go.
Wow, Dona. That beard's changed you, man. That thick-ass beard, bro, you got going
it's
on.
It's January.
My wife hates it. Oh, my
this
God.
It's quite a setup you got here, Dona.
Thick.
Nice house, nice neighborhood.
Thank you.
Nice
thank
studio.
You're welcome back anytime, Judd. Anytime.
Come back around Christmas. My lights are fantastic.
Oh, God. Here we go.
Christmas lights are fantastic.
That, I say he's got that young energy, that young one kid energy. You know what I mean? He put up
this guy rents a lift that you can use when construction was going on 696. I think he took it from and drove it over here.
They weren't working.
That's the kind of lift he buys or rents. To put up his lights. He goes all out.
You put up your own lights?
Yeah. I do.
It's one of the nice things about being on the show. My wife's taking down the tree right
now. Oh, you got out of that. I had to take mine down. I had to get the big ladder out.
She won't let me touch the ornaments.
Oh,
man. I'm not allowed to touch them.
So then you're like, you got this. So I'm going to podcast.
Fantastic.
Anything else you guys want to talk about before we sign it off?
No, man. No.
Judge, thanks so much for being on. This is a great conversation.
Hey, it's been my pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me here. Thank you so much.
Hey, remember to check us out on outofboundsdetroit.com. You'll find all of our information there. And give us a rating. Give us a review. Subscribe. It's free. And we're just having fun over here. Have a great week. Thanks for listening to us.